Well, it's clearly a really important point of tension. I mean, everyone can understand the problem, which is a really enduring problem in the Pacific of transportation, but this isn't a particularly practical idea, and it flies in the face of Tokelau's most important source of funds, which is New Zealand. So it's a pretty important point of tension.
Well, clearly the New Zealand Foreign Minister is pretty upset. He's issued a pretty firm please explain. The relationship between New Zealand and its territories in the Pacific, like Tokelau, Niue, and to a certain extent even Cook Islands, can sometimes get a bit fraught, where you get an overlap between what New Zealand's decision-making authority is and what the local decision-making authority is.
Tokelau has one of those strange relationships that we see in the Pacific. I mean, Australia has some unusual relations too, that are residues from a previous imperial era. And so Tokelau, there are many things that haven't totally been defined, and the New Zealand desire to be respectful, but also in some ways probably to unload some of their responsibilities to Tokelau, has run into a bunch of problems with also wanting to retain some influence over what Tokelau does. So, you know, the territory of Tokelau, which means it's part of, and this is something that most New Zealanders don't know, that Tokelau is actually part of New Zealand. It's part of what is legally called the realm of New Zealand. So the Governor-General of New Zealand is also the Governor-General of Tokelau. That relationship, that territorial relationship, is a very complicated one. And it runs into problems regularly, as does the relationship New Zealand has with Niue and the Cook Islands, which are called associated states. That is, their self-governing and free association with New Zealand. And you just know when the distinctions are so technical that there's going to be problems and at the very edges of those relationships. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. New Zealand pays the bills. They think they should get to call the tune when it matters. And, you know, in this case, it's pretty easy to see their kind of point.
It's like the old golden rule: those who supply the gold make the rules.
That's right. And yeah, but it's also the case that both Australia and New Zealand also do this in areas that are outside their constitutional reach. So a very similar thing occurred with Tonga, where Tonga bought a plane from China, which was also a point of tension, but it was also not licensed by the New Zealand Civil Aviation Authority, and was thought by many people, not just New Zealanders, but Americans and others, to be an unsafe aircraft. And so there was a long period of tension between Tonga and New Zealand over that MH60, which was the kind of aircraft. So there is a long history of this, and actually transport seems to bring it out, because the infrastructure is expensive, things like ferries and planes. And they also call into question the ability of small nations to make really good decisions about quite complicated purchases like ferries or aircraft.
It's not as if New Zealand is trying grimly to hold on to some sort of colonial empire with Tokelau. I think twice in the Helen Clark era they tried to have a referendum for them to become, you know, more like Niue and Cook Islands, and Tokelau effectively said, no, we like it just the way it is.
Yeah, the most recent referendum, which was held by the UN, showed that a majority of Tokelauans wanted to become self-governing and free association with New Zealand, but not the required two-thirds. So, you know, New Zealand has been pretty open about giving Tokelauans the choice. And, of course, the other question is that, you know, New Zealand has most of the Tokelauans. Most of them are in Wellington and concentrated, especially in Porirua. So there is a reason that many in New Zealand are deeply invested in these questions in Tokelau. The relationship is close and it is long-lasting.
What's New Zealand's reputation as a, I hesitate to use the word colonial master, but yeah, you know, as a governing or a country which has such significant constitutional links to these territories in the Pacific?
Well, it really does depend on who you ask. I mean, the self-image in New Zealand is that they're kind of exemplary, as good as colonial masters got. And of course, amongst some Pacific people and Māori people who experienced, you know, what were often violent, but often very troubled relationships, their reputation is quite different. In the case of Tokelau, you know, New Zealand has always been quite generous. You know, since Tokelau became part of the New Zealand constitutional realm, which began in 1925, you know, there's been no real history of conflict or violence. It's been largely consensual. And probably the most dramatic thing has been, you know, this movement of, you know, thousands of Tokelauans to New Zealand, which was often a planned movement. There were a couple of really big migrations of Tokelauans, which were planned and executed by the New Zealand government to try and relieve, you know, what was a real population pressure in Tokelau, which is, you know, just three relatively small atolls.